The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports.
Alrighty then. Welcome back. Halfway through the show, Jason.
We're just getting closer to 7 o'clock. Can't wait.
Are you still of the belief that tonight is a must win?
Yes, 100%.
Right. Joining us right now from the television crew, television staff, voice of your Sacramento Kings. I like to call him Mr. Optimism. The one, the only Kyle Draper, who's on video with us.
He is.
Look at that. I didn't have to hit the phone line. Good morning, Kyle. So nice. There's a reason why Kyle's on TV and I'm on the radio. Look at that. Look at that face. Look at that guy. Good morning, Kyle.
What's up, fellas? How are you today?
Good.
Anxious.
Yeah, let me say this, Dave. And yeah. I know this is your show. I'm not here to take over.
Hey, yeah, this isn't the drive, guys. That's what he pulled on me last time. It's great. Now you have
I'm
the
a
floor.
Realist, Dave.
You are.
I'm a realist.
No, you're not.
Friend.
No, you're not.
I'm not Mr. Optimism. I'm Mr. Real.
No, you're not. You're not Mr. Realist. If you're Mr. Realist, you're not optimistic about tonight.
What do you mean? Why?
Because the Warriors have won 10 of 12. The Kings have completely crapped the bed to end the year.
What does that have to do with tonight?
That's the trend. That's what they're favorite.
So the Warriors are going to win out. They'll beat everybody?
No, not at all. But if we're being realistic, I would venture a guess. See, it's all fun and games when we're on the radio. I would venture a guess that if we had real skin in the game. I mean, I'm talking like you lose your car, your house, something, whatever. And we're talking about this. I'm not talking about you, Kyle. I don't mean any disrespect here. I'm saying the royal you. I think it's really easy to be optimistic because, hey, why not? But I think the realism is being able to look at the internal truth and go, I hope they win. I want them to win. I don't think they're going to win, or I think it's very likely they don't. I don't think that's being a Debbie Downer. I think that's the realism, no?
No, I get it. We're banged up. We're hurt. We're injured. But when you look at the Warriors' schedule over the last 12 games, sure, they beat Dallas once. They beat a Houston team that's on the outside looking in. They beat Los Angeles. But other than that, they got a win against Utah, Portland, Utah, San Antonio, Charlotte, Miami, Orlando. This isn't the best of the best, cream of the crop. Their schedule has been soft down the stretch. We've had one of the most difficult schedules down the stretch, Dave.
That's true. No, that's a fair point. I can't argue that. You're absolutely right.
And even I would say since the Monk injury, the best win has been against the Clippers.
Yes, without a doubt.
Now, the losses have been painful. Kyle, you've been on the call for I said this earlier, Kyle. It's all how you look at it. They've blown these games, a lot of them. But they've also played really well inside those games. Mm-hmm. They've got to figure out that gap. What's missing? Why do they fall apart? Why do they either have to come back from a deficit or why can't they hold onto the leads? Because there are moments of brilliance from this team, even the way they're constructed right now.
Yeah, I think what you're seeing, guys, is they can't put together a full 48 without Malik.
Right.
Like they play in spurs. They could play a good half. They could play a good three quarters. But inevitably, that lull is going to come where the offense really struggles. And unfortunately, as of late, it's been a lot in that third and fourth quarter. You know, why can't they play their best basketball in the second half? They come out fired up. They build these leads. We go to New York. You know, we look at OKC and then they give it away. And so I do think they miss Malik Monk tremendously. But Dave, this is only one game.
Yes.
Why can't Keegan go out there and drop 28 tonight?
He can.
Why can't Trey Lyles have 17 tonight? It's just one game. Yes. Now, if we were playing a whole series without Malik, I'd be a little worried. But for one game, why can't De'Aaron Fox go out there and drop 40 tonight? That's my belief.
No, I don't disagree with you. Let me ask you guys this. If everything works out, you have to go a long way, but just roll with me here. Let's say somehow Golden State and Phoenix match up in the third round or whatever. Who would you guys take in that series?
Phoenix.
Phoenix.
I mean, if they made it that far, probably the Warriors, okay. I guess.
It's a conversation, right?
Yeah.
I guess my response, Kyle, would be this. We're in a whole different situation if the Kings beat Phoenix on Friday. And they absolutely, whether they crap the bed, obviously you have to give respect to Phoenix. They get paid to win ball games too. Yes, Keegan could drop 40. Hell, Keegan could drop 47. He did earlier this year. Maybe Keon Ellis locks down Steph Curry. I can think of 30 different ways the Kings can win tonight, truly and honestly. But my trepidation, you're asking, my trepidation comes like, well, how could they not take one from Dallas? How did they completely, as I said earlier, sign the basketball and hand it to Kevin Durant, basically, on Friday in front of their home fans? That was for seeding. That was for that. We're a whole different ballgame if they win that. And then I'm not even getting into, with Monk, with Herder, well, why didn't they beat Detroit? Why didn't they beat Washington? Why'd they lose to Charlotte? Why'd they blow that huge lead to the Suns in Phoenix? Why were they up 4 in OT against the Bucks at the line and they missed everything and they lost that? And I know everyone has bad
losses.
You're
being negative, Dave. You're being negative right now.
How is that
Dave?
Not? But is
you're
that not,
all the negative stuff.
Where did I lie? Just
no,
tell me
the thing.
Tell me the lie.
Look at this. Look at the Pelicans. Look at Golden State. They all have bad losses. New Orleans, if I'm correct, lost to Memphis 3 times this year. We have to be real about who the Kings are. There is a reason that they're in this position with all the other teams. Look at the Lakers. They've had bad losses. Warriors. All these teams in the mix. Phoenix has had bad losses. They lost to San Antonio twice. And so all these teams have bad losses.
Sure.
It's not just the Kings' problem. It's something when you're in this position, that's what happens.
Yeah, and I think if we did that, look, if we really combed through the Warriors, to Kyle's point, Dave, at one point we go, why is this team below 500? Why did they have to play the second-best basketball at the end of the year to get to the 10 seed?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have their flaws too, right? I mean, I think this isn't a team that I mean, they got to 10. They're not one. They're not two. This is not a juggernaut, at least this year. They've been one before, but they're not the same team.
The Kings, you mean?
The Warriors.
The Warriors, I'm sorry. I think if you're looking for optimism from a Warriors fan's point of view, it's they're finishing the year the right way.
Yeah,
we've seen
I'd
this,
but
we've seen this with almost every dynastic team. Kyle, you know this. Whether it's the early 2000s Lakers, the Spurs, even the Celtics for a minute, and then the Heat. There's every year by like clockwork. There is the midseason. Is this the dynasty's end? And then somehow they put it in gear. And they end up making noise in the playoffs. Even last year, you could argue, well, the Warriors did eventually lose in the playoffs, but they made some noise. The Warriors are going into the postseason the way you want to go into the postseason.
I give you that.
And your point, and by the way, and let me mutual respect back, your point about their schedule versus the Kings is well taken. And I would say the Kings are going into the postseason not the way you want to be. That being said, Kyle, there is an opportunity in front of us here to send the Warriors and their fans home, then to follow that up, and most likely, if you believe the odds, go into L.A. and send LeBron James and Anthony Davis home. And to me, I've said it before. I know this sounds stupid. If you told me that was the case, but we were getting swept in the first round, I'd say give it to me. That's fine, just to exercise those demons. So there still is positive possibilities left, and I hope everyone drags me next week for being negative Nancy because we're sitting in the first round. God, I hope that happens, Kyle.
No, I agree, man, and it's a great possibility. I think this Warriors matchup, no doubt, is going to be tough. They got the championship pedigree and everything, but it's only one game, and anything can happen in one game. Maybe Steph Curry has an off night. I don't know. Maybe Draymond Green gets ejected. I don't know. Klay Thompson resorts back to early in the season, Klay Thompson with 3-17. Maybe De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis become the two best players on the floor tonight. I don't know, but I'm with you, man. If we could beat the Warriors and then get rid of the Lakers, we have bragging rights in the state of California. I'm not including the Clippers in this conversation. The Clippers are on their own island. They don't belong in this conversation when it's talking about Warriors and Lakers. We'll have bragging rights throughout the season, man. And so I'm with you, Once, if they get to the playoffs, we're playing with house money, as far as I'm concerned.
So how do they do it? What's the best path tonight, Kyle? How do the Kings end this night with a beam and everybody chanting that at the end of the night?
I think our guy, Domas, has to be the best big on the floor. Trayce Jackson-Davis can't have an impact. Domas can't be 14-8-6 tonight. He has to exercise his own personal demons. And I said this yesterday on the Drive Guys, fellas, that Domas and De'Aaron Fox have to be two of the three best players on the floor. We know Steph Curry is going to be great, but they can't get outplayed by Wiggins or outplayed by Klay Thompson. Our stars have to be stars tonight. And then the other guys will follow. Keegan will fill in with his 18 tonight. Davion will have about 12 to 14. Keon will do his thing. But our stars, this is the postseason, fellas. The stars are what wins championships. So our stars got to be stars.
Kyle Draper, voice of the Kings, joining us. Kyle, do you, if you're Mike Brown, maybe you're not out and out saying it, but are you trying to bait Draymond a little bit tonight?
Mix it up a little bit. I think you use whatever you can to get under his skin. Mm-hmm. You know, here's the thing. It doesn't take much to set Draymond off. I mean, the dude got ejected 4 minutes into a game earlier this season. And so maybe it's a grab. Maybe it's a hold. Maybe it's a hard foul. Maybe it's a, you know, just a little elbow to the ribs or something like that. Something to get him off his game. And, you know, this Warriors team, they've been playing great. Like you said, Dave, the numbers indicate, you know, especially defensively, how great they've been. We know he's the anchor of their defense. So any way we can get him off his game, I think that helps us out.
You know, last year, the difference, I feel like, where the Kings are now, certainly they're going to miss Monk, as you said, and Herter. But this team, Kyle, what they have done better in the absence of those guys, and really as a season, is play better defense. Tonight, defensively, against a guy specifically like Steph, I know nobody can stop him, but between De'Aaron, between Davion, Keegan has guarded him some pretty effectively at times this year, and even Keon, I feel like they're equipped. Again, whatever that means, Steph could still light up the night, but I feel like they've got more options on him than they maybe did last year. How do you feel about that?
No, I agree. We got tremendous on-ball defenders, you know, especially the second half of the season. You mentioned Keon, obviously. And, you know, we had Jerry Reynolds on Gary St. Jean, excuse me, on yesterday, and he was talking about, you know, you got to throw Steph different looks. Where the Kings have had success against Steph Curry is blitzing him late. I got to imagine the Warriors will be prepared for that. I don't think you do that early in the game. I don't think, because then I feel like the Warriors, they welcome the blitz. They welcome the trap. They hit Draymond. Now you're playing 4-on-3 on the other end. You know, what's the magic number for Steph Curry tonight, fellas? If he scores less than 35, are we feeling good? Less than 30? You know, I think you got to make guys like Pajemski beat you. Guys like Trace Jackson Davis, put them in a pressure cooker, have them making decisions. And, you know, Steph is going to step. If you can limit him to like a 9-for-24 kind of night, you know, where he's not like 12 of 18 or something like that, I think that's a good thing.
How big is tonight for Domantas Sabonis having an all-star year, huge snub, top 10 MVP, double-double streak, leading the league in rebounds, top 5 in assists, yet there is still this undercurrent that pops up whenever he has a bad game, which is rare, that, yeah, but when you get to the postseason, he can't do anything. Kevon Looney owned him last year. This is why Indiana traded him away. If I made the argument that Domantas Sabonis has the most pressure on him tonight, is that valid at all to you, Kyle?
No, 100%. I mean, who else would it be? Like, De'Aaron, we know he's great. He played great last year against the Warriors. Maybe Mike Brown has some pressure from a coaching standpoint, but nobody else player-wise can match the kind of pressure Domantas Sabonis has been in. As great of a season as he's had, his season has been better this year than last year. The whole narrative all season long, before the season even tipped off, is, well, what's he going to do in the playoffs? He has to atone for that. And that's why I say he got to be the best big out there. It has to be clear. I mean, this guy's an all-NBA guy, a all-star caliber big man. In my opinion, the second best big man all season long, because Embiid was out. You know, behind Jokic, Domas has been that guy. And, you know, I talked to some people on the staff, and one of the things I've been saying is we got to make his life a little easier, fellas. I feel like his buckets, he has to work so hard for, double and triple team. I'd love to see a little more, you know, quickness, you know, get him on the move a little bit more. And I think that's where he misses Malik Monk so much. Malik would set him up. roll into the basket. But you're right, man. He can't let Trayce Jackson-Davis. No offense, Trayce Jackson. I love Trayce Jackson-Davis, Indiana product, big fan of his. But Domas needs to feast on him tonight. I need like a 2018 and 9 assist kind of night from Domas, guys.
I love it. You know, and usually these games, Kyle, come down to the stars, the Currys, the Sabonis, the De'Aarons and whatnot. But sometimes you need that other player, someone that, that plays above what you expect. Keon, if we even look at the four regular season matchups with these two teams, when three of the four decided by a point, Keon wasn't really playing. And if I'm guessing, I mean, I think he's going to have open looks. The Warriors are going to look to get the ball out of Fox and Sabonis' hands. What do you think Keon will do in really his biggest moment in the biggest type of game he's had as an NBA pro?
I mean, I've been impressed with this guy. You know, I mean, we saw him against Phoenix. We saw him earlier this season. Like, I think he's ready for this moment. And to your point, Jason, you know, I remember back, and I told this story yesterday, 2017, I was in Boston, Game 7, Celtics-Wizards. It was our guy, Isaiah Thomas. We all know IT, the little guy, pizza guy. He dropped 29. But that game is being remembered for Kelly Olynyk, who had 26 in that game. So who's going to be our Kelly Olynyk tonight? Is it going to be Keon Ellis? Is it going to be Trey Lyles? Is it Davion? Is it perhaps Keegan Murray? Maybe he has a 28-30-point game. So I think the stars, they got to be the stars. But also you need that one other guy, to your point, Jason. And hopefully if they get that one other guy, I'm Mr. Optimistic, Dave. I'm optimistic about tonight.
Kyle Draper joining us. You know, this ain't your first rodeo, and you went through something similar. You know, there's no city that has, if you want to talk about a polar sports opposite to Sacramento, it's Boston. Boston has a brand new title every year. there are 25-year-old kids that are like, oh, we didn't win a championship? That's weird. But I remember, I'm old enough to remember Sam Malone and Cheers and the lowly Red Sox and the Celtics' huge drought after Larry Bird, and obviously the tragedy of Reggie Lewis and all the down years that happened in Boston. I'm old enough to remember when the Patriots were not running Tom Brady out there, and I'm old enough to remember, and I think it was 99 when the Pats did win, I was like, there's no way the Patriots can be super. That's weird. And then, of course, they're a dynasty. People talk about, Mike Brown talks about, building a championship contender, that there are levels, that we're learning lessons. If, from your perspective, having gone through it on the other side, can that be applied to radio hosts and fan bases where you're also learning how to be a championship fan base?
I like where you're going with that, Dave. I like where you're going with that. Yes, I think so, because, you know, I feel like when we look at this season, you know, from a fan's perspective, and I've heard you, Dave, I listen to your show. You do a great job, man. Fantastic job. I listen to you when I, you know, drop off the kids in the morning and stuff like that. But I've, you know, the notion that we want this season to end, can't wait till it's over. It's been too emotional. Just get it over with. How quickly we forget. 3 years ago, we would have loved to have this kind of season. 2 years ago, we would have loved to have. And so I feel like as fans, we're learning how to cope now with expectations. And you're right. In Boston, 2 years ago, they were ready to fire Ime Udoka in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
All he did was guide them deep into the playoffs to the NBA Finals where they lost to the Warriors. So when you have those kind of expectations, I think the fan base, you'll see Sacramento, you start becoming more like Boston. You start becoming more like Golden State, Lakers. I hate to say it, but when you don't have expectations, when you have low expectations, your heart isn't broken as much. You don't react as emotional. And I feel like that's what we've seen this season. A lot of emotional reactions to this team.
By the way, that's it in a nutshell. I don't want to make the mistake of making it sound like my thoughts on the team are part of this protection shell, because that's just, it's my honest analysis, right or wrong. But Kyle's dead right, and I talk about this all the time. Optimism is a pedestal, and this works for most people. Optimism's a pedestal. You get your hopes up. You breathe it into existence. You know, all the stuff they say. I believe in optimism when it comes to me, because I can control it. I can, for the most part, control Kyle, how I do on the show today or how I am to my family or whatever. Yeah. In reality, we're all voyeurs. We're just sitting here watching a bunch of millionaires play with their balls, and we have no control over what happens. So for me, optimism is a pedestal. If you fall off, it's a drop to the ground and it hurts. Whereas I won't say pessimism, but
being, the drop is much lower. Like, it's not much, not but, as
yeah.
high.
Yeah. And you're in a mode. Look, make no mistake about it. Kyle and I have fun debating. But Kyle, you and I are peas from the same pod in the sense that we're both incredibly emotional when it comes to our teams. We're not afraid to yell and scream at times, as I saw your rant the other day on the physicality, which I'm with you on for the most part. You and I are not like suit and tie, like, well, you know, the rebound. You know, we get into this.
Right.
You may not agree with it, but I do know you understand the art of putting a metal shell around your emotions.
Yeah, and maybe my problem, fellas, is that I'm so emotional, I fall off after the game, but then I wake up the next day, and then I'm back up on that optimistic
pitch. Right.
You know, and maybe I haven't been around here long enough, Dave. Obviously, you've been through the dark days when it comes to this franchise, and so maybe you're more pessimistic. I keep getting up on that perch, and I tell you, it's a far drop down, like, when we lose and we have a bad loss,
yeah,
that's the passion and energy you see on the post game show. And so it's just coming out in different ways. I keep getting up on that perch. The sun is out, it's shining. I got faith in my guys. And so I'm trying to bring the positive energy because I feel you, Dave. I understand years of struggling, it'll do it to you, you know, but I like getting back on that horse, on that perch.
By the way, just so you know, Kyle, I'm getting absolutely destroyed in the chat right now by my. They're like, "Come on, Dave, Davey." So I don't want to make sure I'm not speaking for everybody.
Well, yeah, and I would say my pushback to you on the pessimism or the negative thought is, you still get emotion. It doesn't protect you as much as you think it does.
No, you're right. That's the
problem. There's no protection.
That's
so why not lean in? Go for it.
Because once game time starts tonight, whether I'm at the game or I'm at home, I'm going to be rah-rah, let's go, let's do this.
He'll be there.
And if they lose tonight, I'm still going to be depressed.
Exactly.
One of these days, but I'm still effing Charlie Brown trying to kick the damn football.
That's
and sports. I know she's going to pull it away.
That's sports.
But maybe this time she won't.
Exactly.
But then she does, and I land on my ass.
Just do me one favor.
Yeah.
Just do me one favor.
Yes.
If it's 4-0 Warriors, don't tweet out, the game's over.
I've seen enough.
You'll be sending out tweets in the first quarter, man.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Does that help?
I know exactly what you're talking about a little bit. You're talking about when the Kings were down, and when I sent that tweet out, it was 32-11, I believe, Pelicans. And can I just say something? I wasn't wrong. Game was over.
But did it help? Did it help you?
Yes.
It did?
It made me I acknowledged the loss, and I was less – no, it didn't help.
You still watch? You saw a little bit of a comeback? You started to believe?
I did not.
Oh, you didn't.
No, I will not fall for the banana in the tailpipe with this team. I didn't in Boston.
Okay.
I didn't against the – this is the banana in the tailpipe team. If you watch Beverly Hills Cop, I'm not doing that, but no, it didn't make me feel better. It made me feel sad. But, I'm you know, Kyle, you bring up great points, and – I know this. When this team wins a championship, you and I will definitely. Well, let me say this: we'll be dousing each other with something. I don't know what, but we'll be in the streets partying together. We all want the same thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Hey, can I plug my show, guys?
Yeah. This isn't the drive, guys. We don't do plugs, but go ahead, Kyle.
Can I plug it? We're doing it live outside Doco today for the game, man. The drive, guys. Me and Kevin Gleason. So if you're coming to the game, come holler at your boys right out in the promenade there, right at the grand entrance. We're going to be out there.
Love it.
Awesome.
5:30.
Love it. 2 to 5:30 and then on to the broadcast. Well, we'll see you tonight. Good luck. And hopefully we're all smiles tomorrow, my friend. Thank you so much.
All right, fellas. See you guys soon.
See you.
Thank you.
Take care. Go see Kyle.
Right. Good show out there.
All them out there.
Yes.
I always love to holler at your boys. Like, that'd be funny. People just go up and go, "Hey!" I'm hollering.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks to Kyle. And you know what? I love having the conversations with him or anyone. Because it is, there are people in the fan base that are like me. I represent the old, decrepit, lame part of the fan base. And then there's people like Kyle, like you, that are like, hey, that does nothing. Come on, stupid. And I think I get it. I do. We'll take a break. When we come back, what are the players and coaches saying about tonight's matchup? We got some audio for you next.
Things to say.
He's good at what he does.
On Sacktown Sports.
Thanks again to Kyle Draper for joining us. Check him out. Drive Guys this afternoon. Get you ready for Kings, Warriors. 9 versus 10. Winner goes home. Loser. Winner goes on. Loser goes home. In the play-in game tonight, we will visit with Sean Cunningham, Fox 40 reporter, longtime reporter here in the area. He will join us to start the 9 o'clock hour. We're about 25 minutes or so away from that. Still to come in this hour, what to watch a little bit later, but who's hot, who's not. Let's go streaking. And we got three in the key for tonight. Some predictions coming your way between the Kings and the Golden State Warriors. Speaking of that, watching one of the national shows we got on there, they are talking about the Kings and Warriors right now. We've got three panelists up there. Brian Windhorst and Tim Legler picking the Warriors. Andrea Carter picking the Kings. So 2-1 Warriors advantage from the set there, which is probably, I would say, about what would be expected. I mean, I think if you're really looking at point spread, obviously favors the Warriors now up to 3.5. To what Dave was saying earlier, they've played better going in. They're the healthier team. But the same thing Kyle said, I said yesterday, the fact that this is one game makes me feel better about the Kings' chances. In a series, just the way it's set up right now, the way they are playing, the way the Warriors are playing, I wouldn't like that. But it's one. I think the Warriors have – it really, I think both coaches said this over the last day here, that the first four matchups, though they're all incredibly competitive, three of them decided by one point, they happened so long ago that – it's almost irrelevant to look back at on game film because these two teams are completely different. Warriors did it out of adjustments, out of not necessarily necessity, but they got people back healthy, tweaked the lineup during the year, and now have found a groove that they are happy with, where the Kings have had to make their adjustments based out of necessity, based out of injury. And so that's why they've had to make their tweaks. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes tonight.
I hope we win.
I hope so, too.
Also, this candy bar Chris brought in.
Yes.
It's called an Idaho Spud. It's from Idaho, where he was last weekend. I told him I would put this in my regular candy bar rotation. I don't have a regular candy bar rotation. Yeah. But
if, it would go in there.
Here's the best compliment I can give. If my kids came home from trick-or-treating and they had little versions of this in there, they would be the first ones I'd steal. One of the first ones I'd steal. It's really, really well done.
Yeah.
Like coconut on the outside, then chocolate, then like a really soft kind of...
I couldn't tell if that was marshmallow.
It's like marsh nougmallow.
Yeah.
Chocolatey. Gets. Yeah. It's a chocolatey, coconutty nougat, but it's not chewy like marshmallow, you know, with a little bit of chew to it. It just kind of melts in your mouth. Idaho Spud. I'll tell you what, Chris... When you go back to Boise, because that's like your favorite place now, I'll Venmo you. Get me you wanted the hot sauce that I didn't bring you.
Yes.
Yeah. Give me a bag of those. It's the best part of the day. Anyways.
Now you want to go to Idaho?
I mean, I would, you know, venture out there.
Yeah. With your shirt.
Sean Cunningham's going to join us in a little bit. Let's get to some sound, Jason, if you will.
Yeah, I will.
What's the scuttlebutt amongst players for tonight? Let's start with the coach embracing the moment.
First of all, embrace the moment and go out and have fun and just be who you are. He doesn't need to try to do too much. Just keep being who you are and don't be afraid of the moment.
Jason, you asked Coach Brown about the experience factor with the Warriors. They haven't been here specifically before, but they've been tried and tested quite a few times.
The experience that they have is, you know, undeniable. You can't speed up that process. And what it allows them to do is, is as the game goes on, a lot of players you can see, especially if it's physical, you can see they may be a little fatigued or tired or however you may want to call it. But those guys know as the game goes along, especially Steph, he's got another gear that he gets to. And as much running as Steph does during the course of the game, you very seldom can feel him being worn out at the end of games, even if you blitz him the whole game or hit him the whole game.
All right, and finally, De'Aaron Fox. You know, a lot of people say, hey, this playing game, it's like a game seven, except mm-hmm. it's game one, but it's winner take all. And Fox says, yeah, game seven, I hear you, but it's more like the stuff that goes on in March.
I mean, I think it's going to be crazy. I don't know if you can replicate a game seven in the playoffs. I mean, I think that's pretty hard to do, but like I said, this is the closest to a March Madness type of feel that you're ever going to get.
Yeah, a little bit like what they try with the in-season tournament as well.
This will never happen, and it's a bad idea. This will never happen as a bad idea. I'm just simply asking you from an entertainment, just an entertainment point of view. What if the NBA playoffs were seeded and were one and done March Madness style?
Yeah.
Like, it's a bad idea. It would never happen. I'm not advocating for it. Would that be the most stressful playoffs ever?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. For real,
again, that's
man.
What they try with the in-season tournament. It's not the same.
No.
Because we know it's for, you know, a relatively new thing and a new title, but people played for that. That was great. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't everybody that was in. You had to get there as the final
yes.
four. And yeah.
That'd be crazy.
It would be.
We'll take a break when we come back. Who's hot, who's not? We're going to go streaking and knock out a three in the key. Hopefully not our final three in the key of the year. Hopefully the first of many. And then Sean Cunningham, Fox 40. He's going to join us coming up next.
What's hot?
Yeah, hot. Real hot.
And what's not?
It's not good.
Brought to you by American Energy Heating and Air, Sacramento's complete heating and cooling company and second opinion partner.
Who's hot?
Domantas Sabonis.
Good.
He finished with 1,500 plus points, 1,000 plus rebounds, 600 plus assists.
Yeah.
What are the averages?
The first player to do that since Wilt Chamberlain.
So Wilt was good.
Yeah, I guess so.
Doing it against plumbers and custodians, no offense to them.
When the key actually looked like a keyhole.
Yeah, it literally looked like a keyhole. There was no three-pointers, none of those crazy long. Think about that, too. There weren't as many long rebounds because everything was, whatever, close to the basket when Wilt played. And Wilt was, far and away, tallest, biggest, most athletic.
Was he a plumber?
He was. See, Wilt Chamberlain, you know what? Wilt Chamberlain. I don't want to.
No, don't do that. Never mind. I knew now that I said that. Never mind. What's next?
I was trying to think. I always want to know, how would Wilt in it take prime Wilt Chamberlain, right? Take him, 26-year-old, 27-year-old Wilt Chamberlain, take him out of, go get Marty McFly's car, grab Wilt, and then bring him to modern times and throw him into King's preseason. He gets a preseason spot. Okay. Does he make the team? If he makes the team, is he a rotation guy? Is he a starter? Is he an all-star? Is he how would Wilt Chamberlain then do now? I'd love to know that. Instinctively,
right?
I think he'd be average to above average, and that's not disrespect. He didn't have the benefit of sports medicine and this and that. Yeah. And blah, 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 blah. But I honestly wonder, how would Wilt do? How would prime Kareem have done in 2019 being guarded by, how does Jokic guard Wilt? That type of stuff?
Right.
We'll never know. Maybe that's what heaven's like. You get to do all these matchups.
That's great. What you would do if you could do whatever you want.
Well, I'd get to it eventually. I'd do all the cool stuff first.
Basketball Jesus when he goes down the chimney.
Right. Yeah. When he comes down the chimney, I feel like in year 12 of heaven, that's where, I mean, remember, we got eternity
other
to
years?
Deal with. I don't know. But I feel like eventually I'm getting.
Hourglass never ends.
Ever. Like how I'm putting Tom Brady going up against Sammy Baugh in the 40s or 50s. I'm doing all that. Yeah, and I'm just watching going, ha, ha, that's why I was a good guy. So I can get to heaven and see this crap. You want to go to the angel party? No. I got Wilt Chamberlain's playing against Dennis Rodman.
I'll go, no. I'm sorry, Mr. Pessimism.
You're over there in this section of heaven.
Yeah.
And then it's like the old bit. What happens if, like, I'm in there for, like, 9 years and then, you know, my wife, who will, I'm sure, outlive me. What happens if she passes and comes up there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if I got a girlfriend? What if I have a heaven girlfriend? And then now my wife shows up. What the heck is that all about?
You've got some explaining to
do. I got some explaining to do.
I want to say there's a book about something like that.
Is there?
Yeah.
It's the old Louis C.K. bit. Whenever anybody in sports is like, and I'm sure that, you know, my mom is down looking at this game and I just want to say thank you. He's like, when is a parent's job over? Like, what if she has it? Now she's still got to watch all the games?
Right.
She took you to all the games. She went to all the games. She's not alive anymore, and you're still expecting her to be. Yeah,
I'm off the clock.
I'm off the. I'm done. Yeah. Can I go live for me now, please?
Right.
Anyways, who's not?
You know what? Making an executive decision.
Are you?
We've been told that we've been way too negative
about
tonight, about the Kings.
Well, and by we, that's me.
Yes.
Yes.
There is nobody that's not hot.
Oh, wow. Oh. Look at Christopher Lodd.
Everybody's hot.
Coming up with a wonderful way to do less work and cover it. That is well done. All right, let's go. Let's go streaking.
It's time to go streaking.
We're going streaking!
Who is the Nostradamus of MLB?
Who can keep the streak going? It's time to go streaking.
What the hell are you doing?
You're streaking!
Roy Seeley's a guy that comes into the chat every once in a while and does things like, the Kings should have moved to Seattle, right? Some rando thing. You know, talk about me being negative. Today's Royism, his Seeleyism is this. DeMoss is not a top five center today. All right, so.
Okay.
Tune into Roy's podcast later.
I disagree.
When he says Michael Jordan was a plumber. Chocolate is stupid. Christopher Lund. Jason Roy.
Yes.
Street time.
All right, let's get everybody caught up. Dave, you were out yesterday, so we go back to Friday. You had picked Ozzy Albies without – you didn't have a hit, so you needed to get a hit to start a streak. He got you a hit on
Friday.
That's
right.
So you're
Thank
back
you,
in
Ozzy.
Play. You're at one. Chris from back on Thursday selected Jackson Holiday. He and I both took Jackson Holiday. He and I both went without a hit back then.
I think I saw yesterday Jackson Holiday is now 1 of 23.
Woof. So Chris gets to start fresh today. Yesterday,
is he done?
Is he washed?
Yesterday, Simone was in here, and she picked Lawrence Butler from the Oakland Athletics, soon to be just Athletics. He went 0 for 2. And I took Mookie Betts, and Mookie finally got me hit. So I'm at one.
Mookie.
Dave's at one. Chris is starting anew. So
okay.
Here we go. So you can pick from the field today.
You know what? Because I was such a big what's the opposite of a proponent? Why am I blaming
opponent?
of Ruiz being sent down and now he's back? What? Really?
You guys always pick the player that I want to pick.
Always, you're going to pick Esteury Ruiz?
The person that gets that pronounces it correctly gets to pick
I think
them.
It's Esteury.
I've been saying Esteury Ruiz.
It's not. I know it's not Esteury.
Go ahead and tell Brody Brizzle that.
I think Brody, I heard it. What's
he
his name?
He hit the home run yesterday. Let's hear it.
Yeah, the baby carry. What's his face?
Baby carry.
Not Skip. Who? What's his name? The baby carry.
Not Chip.
Not Chip.
Flip.
Yeah, he was like.
I think it's Chris.
I think it's Esteury Ruiz is what I think it is. Let me see. We're going to find this here. Why are you bringing up home runs from, like, a look at this, dude. Why is it all Las Vegas? Oh,
there
we go. Here we go. Okay. All right, turn that down, would you, Christopher? Thank you. Okay, let's unmute it, and here we go.
Clearance for Romero, no record of 1.17 ERA, and a deep drive to left. Nootbaar is going back. He's at the track. He will watch it fly. And welcome back, Mr. Ruiz. Clearance for Romero.
Oh, come on, Ken. Ken. Ken Korak, shame on you. That's dirty. He did that on purpose. Come on. I know I tweeted the right call.
I know, I heard it.
That's good. You know what? We love Ken Korak, but that's cheating. All right, here's the carry call.
Ben. Esteuri.
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 Is that what we heard?
I think. Esteuri.
Ben. Esteuri.
Esteuri. Chris thought it was a story.
So are you picking him?
If I'm being honest, I thought it was one spot. I thought it was like estuary, like the thing of water.
Yeah.
Yeah, give me Esteuri.
Ruiz.
Esteuri.
Drive, left field. That ball is gone. Welcome back, Esteuri Ruiz.
What if he said Mr. Ruiz as well?
I'd just say, you're all tanking. Also, by the way, baby Carrie, this kid's an all-star. This kid's going to be a really, really good play-by-play voice. Yeah. Weirdly enough, since it's like genetically necessary for that to happen. Anyway.
I'm going to go ahead and take Ellie De La Cruz of the Cincinnati Reds.
Ellie De La Cruz.
Chris?
I'm going to take Mr. Ruiz of the Oakland Athletics.
Welcome back, Mr. Ruiz. We know what you're doing, Ken. We see you, Ken. Esteuri.
You've been seen.
Esteuri. Like you're, right? Esteuri Ruiz.
Yeah, Esteuri Ruiz. Rolls off the tongue.
Call him Este.
Yeah, just Estee Lauder.
Do we have time for Three in the Key?
We do.
John Tesh.
Quickly.
Pick it up. La, 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 la. All right, Kings, Warriors tonight. Dare I say must win, Jason Ross.
It is a must win, Dave. We are looking in Category 1, top three Kings scores and their point totals.
Okay, give me 38 for De'Aaron Fox. Give me 22 for Keegan Murray. And give me 19 for Domantas Sabonis.
All right, we're on the same kind of wavelength. I said 37 Fox, 25 Murray, 21 Sabonis.
We are very much on the same wavelength.
Chris?
Come on, contrarian.
I'm going to say 42 Fox. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say 19 for Keegan. And 22 for Domantas.
Oh, he did a thing.
He did. He did. Write it down differently. Okay. Yeah. We're looking for Kings three-pointers made and Warriors three-pointers made.
I will say 16 for the Kings, 15 for the Warriors.
Okay, I have 14 Kings, 17 Warriors. Chris? Yeah.
18 Kings, 13 Warriors.
Ooh, okay. And then the last one is our favorite, the random, something different, something odd, something weird that you're predicting.
I'm going to be very clear that I'm trying to reverse jinx this part because I do not want this to happen. The game will go to overtime. I think I might actually die if that happens. And then I'll let you guys know about the whole Will Chamberlain thing from heaven.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have a Warrior will give Kings fans crumble cookies with two missed free throws.
Ooh.
We're getting crookies tonight.
Smells like Kevon Looney time.
Hey, Chris?
Trey Lyles will have 15 or more points tonight.
Oh.
Okay.
Write that down for a segment this summer. I think that would be fun. Like, what would sports hell and sports heaven be like? Would sports hell just be like game 7 against the Warriors and Steph scores 50, like, on loop?
Ori shot.
Yeah, but like
relocation saga.
Your mind's like erased, so you don't know how it's going to turn out. Talk about, and then you know what? I guarantee you, I'd go on the air in sports hell, and people would be like, "You're so pessimistic, Dave." Be like, "Dude, it's been 97 straight times.
It might be Ori's different tomorrow.
That, might be different tomorrow. Why don't you just give up?" When we come back, Sean Cunningham, he never gives up. The largest collection of colognes in all of Sacramento belongs to Sean Cunningham, and he will smell good and join us next.